We're going to dedicate our learning to for Refuah Shleima for
Shoshana Esther Bat Gittel Rachel
and
Leah Bat Torah.
They should both have a Refuah Shleima. Okay, today we're going to talk about seeing. We're going to talk about vision, true vision, fake vision. We're going to see that there's some stories in the Chumash at the end of Bereishit that are just difficult to understand, extremely difficult to understand. And we're going to hopefully have the help of some of the Parshanim, Rashi, of course, the Midrash, and a very interesting Or HaChaim as well. Because the idea of vision and seeing appears in a number of different contexts in this Parsha and instructs a lot of the ways that we see the stories here, and maybe hopefully we'll raise some interesting questions that we have to discuss. Okay? So we're going to start at the beginning of Vayechi. I do want to point out that I was sort of pushed in this direction. I heard Dvar Torah from Rav Rutel, who's my boss, and I wrote yesterday, and it got me thinking. And I don't know if he meant what I'm going to say, but Rav Gutel, his name is Neria Gutel, he's the president of Arot. So I was busy yesterday because we had a Yom Iyun, so he always gives a Dvar Torah at the beginning of the Yom Iyun, and he alluded to this idea in the Parsha. So I'm going to develop it in my own way. Okay, so let's begin the parasha, and we'll talk about this idea of seeing and not seeing, what real vision is and what it is not. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shva esrei shana. I have to stop. I meant to introduce it in a different way. I had this whole discussion. So yesterday I was also giving a class to a bunch of students at a row, and we talked about, somehow we got very quickly onto the topic of Olam Haba. Okay, and so one of the students, of course, asked quite legitimately. She said, "What's the difference between what is Olam Haba? Like, nobody can really tell me what it is." So I have this very interesting idea that we talk about Olam Haba. Another word, another term for Olam Haba. What do we call Olam Haba? We call it Olam Ha'emet. You ever heard that term? We call it Olam Ha'emet. Okay, the true world. But if that's true, then what does that mean about this world?
Olam
Sheker. It's the fake world. It's the false world. You want to play with the toys? You want me to feed you? It's a false world. It's going to be challenging. Okay? So, the question we have to ask ourselves is, of course, what's fake? Like, what's Sheker? Where's the lies? Where's the Sheker in this world that is not true? Meaning, do you understand what I'm saying? What are we experiencing? What is it about this world that's Sheker? Anybody want to suggest something? What's false? What's fake? What's not?
Well, the value system, what we value.
The bad prosper, the good seems to fail.
Okay.
You know, in terms of he who has the most is the most important.
Very good. Okay. So, correct. Meaning, in the Olam Ha'emet, in the true world, it's not that this world doesn't exist and the other world does exist. Both exist. The question is, what are the underlying values? And this is one way of, I'm sure, many ways of understanding this idea. What are the underlying values in this world? What motivates us in this world? The answer is, right. Why? Why?
Because the world is valuable.
Correct. No, but that is valuable. We have to live. Right? We are forced to work. Correct. The currency is gashmiut. And not gashmiut necessarily in the negative sense. Gashmiut in the obligatory sense. We have to live. Okay? That's what really motivates us.
I don't agree with what you just said.
We have to live.
No. But I think you can't say gashmiut. That's not gashmiut. That's necessary. Gashmiut is taking it to the next step.
Nope. No. Gashmius is from?
From the word geshem.
Right. Physicality. Yes, you are thinking of it colloquially.
Yeah.
Right. We think of gashmius as being overly, but that's exactly the point. The problem is because we are forced to focus on this gashmius, on this physicality, right, our challenge, and the challenge that we consistently fail in is, right, stopping. Is what do we need and what do we want? Right. You know what I'm saying? That's the motivation. That's the idea of physicality, of Yitzhahara, of Gashmiut in general. And this is something that we all struggle with. In the Olam Ha'emet, we get to the true world, we'll understand that God placed us in this world in order to challenge us to focus on what's important, what's real, right, versus what's not. And the challenge I want to preface this, the discussion we're going to have today is the fact that in this fake world, what we see what motivates us are the things that we want, are the things that I would say the Gashmi world, the external world, okay, and the things that we value, and the things that motivate us. Are the parts of this what we call Olam HaSheker. And our challenge, and what we struggle to do, no, I'm not going to play, I can't play now. What we struggle to do is to be motivated to the Emet, to the truth. Because when we get to the Olam HaEmet, when we get to the true world, we'll realize that all of the things that we did, and all the time we wasted, and we were all so consumed with this idea, with the Sheker, and how much of it, you know, how much did we waste? How much of it really wasn't appropriate, and wasn't necessary, and was simply a lost opportunity. What do we take with us?
Our reputation.
This is another discussion. I won't take it in a different direction. We take with us.
Reputation's
no, we don't. Of course, we take with us. We don't take with us anything. We don't take with us anything, in the sense of
anything material.
Right. I don't even mean that in a sense. I mean spiritually, we don't take anything with you. What you take with you is what you've become. You are what you take with you. Everything that you've become. Right? Your actions, your attitudes, that's what you take with you. What is it? That's absolutely right. That's all it is. You are what you are. Isn't that the point of Olam HaEmet? It is what it is. Right? There's no fake. There's no facade.
And you can't fake it when you get there.
What? Yes, exactly. We're gonna get to this point.
Lost anyone close to you, it becomes so real to you, you know. This point that you're making.
I think that when you lose a person and you focus on these things, it becomes real to you, and then life goes on, and you just quickly forget, and you fall right back into the. That's been my experience.
Yeah, but you hope you've changed.
Of course. Okay, so that preface is very relevant to our discussion today. We're going to see. I'll explain to you why. Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 70 years, and altogether he lived 77 years and 147. And the time came for him to die. Please don't bury me in Egypt. I'm going to read this quickly because I want to get to the next piece. Plus, if you recall, we discussed this a few weeks ago. When I die, you'll carry me from Egypt and bury me in the burial place of my fathers. He says, I'll do it. Okay? Please, do you swear? I swear. And you bow down. Very important not to be buried. We discussed this actually in a number of different contexts. Yeah. Idea of burial in Eretz Yisrael. We've actually discussed it in a few contexts, and even I remember it. Perek Memchet. Vayehi acharei hadvarim ha'ele. Vayomer liYosef hinei avicha chole. It was told to Yosef, your father is sick. Vayikach et shnei banav imo et Menashe ve et Ephraim. So he took with him his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Vayaged li Yaakov, vayomer hinei bincha Yosef ba'ilecha. And it was told to Yaakov, behold, your son Yosef comes to you. Vayitchazek Yisrael, vayeshev al hamita. And he sat up on the mita. Okay? So, why was he told?
Because he was feeble and blind.
Oh, very good. He was feeble and blind. It's going to be very important. Vayomer, he couldn't see. And we're going to see that he couldn't see. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef. El Shaddai nira elai beluz be'eretz Kenan vayivarachoti. El Shaddai nira elai. We're going to focus today a lot on the word lirot, to see. So God appeared to me beluz in eretz Kenan, and He blessed me. When did God appear to me?
On his way to Israel.
How did God appear to him? When he was
sleeping.
Right, at night. Remember, he dreamed a dream. Okay? So did God really appear to him? Or he appeared to him in a different sort of appearing to him? Did God physically appear to him?
No, in a dream.
In a dream. Okay, just want to point that out. What? Did the angel, did God physically appear to Moshe?
Yes.
Yes.
He was the only person.
Right? What?
The only one.
The only one. Hard to know. We don't always hear about other times when God appeared to, like, Avraham Avinu. We don't see that it's necessarily always when he was asleep. That it was specifically not an appearance, not a nevuah. Okay? Specifically about Yaakov, not only this time, not only the time in Luz, but later on also, remember we pointed out last week, that God appeared to Yaakov, b'mar'ot laila. Again, in the visions of the night. I'm going to point that out. So God appeared to me, and he blessed me, v'yomer elai, and he said to me, hinini mafcha v'biticha v'nitecha l'kal amim, I'll make you great, I'll place you a community of nations, v'natati et ha'aretz hazot l'zaracha acharecha v'zat olam, and you're going to get this as an inheritance. Okay. V'ata, your two children will be like children to me. Ephraim u'Menashe, ki Reuven v'Shimon yuli. Your sons Ephraim and Menashe will be like sons to me. Okay. U'malartecha sholadata achrayim l'cha yiyu, alshem achrayim yikaru b'nachalatam. And their birthplace will be on my name. Meaning, essentially, what did Yaakov just do to Ephraim and Menashe? He promoted them. Right. He's like, they're like you. You get double. In a sense, what did he also do? He made Yosef and Bechor. Okay, I'm going to skip the next pasuk. Okay, the death of Rachel, we also spoke about why he buried Rachel. Pasuk Chet. Now we get to the very, very strange thing. Vayar Yisrael et b'nei Yosef vayomer mi eile. Right? Yisrael saw the children of Yosef and he said, who are they? All of them, Mefarshim and Rashi included, asked the obvious question. What? Vayar Yisrael, right? At B'nai Yosef. He saw them, and he said, who are they? How could he see them? How could he see the B'nai Yosef and also say, who are they? How could he not know who they were? He's been living for 17 years in Mitzrayim. So now one could suggest, simply, quite simply, what did he see? Right, and therefore...
So he was trying to verify all these...
Correct. He could see, but he couldn't really see.
Maybe he wasn't making a physical sense.
Right, that's what he means, right? That's what you're trying to say. He could see, what?
I don't know.
So much so that when he looked at them, they didn't take
him. Rashi rejects your suggestion. Okay, 1 second. Not Rashi. Very good. Okay, we're going to go to that, obviously. Rashi suggests. I saw somebody suggest. How could it be? Where Pasuk am I on? Perek Memchet. You want to go down or stay here? Then be quiet.
Yeah, no, Father can feel this spirituality around
him. Oh, you're going to like this year. Okay, I'm going to agree with Miriam 100%. Okay, Vayar Yisrael et Bnei Yosef says the somebody. I don't remember where I saw this exactly, but it says it's obvious that he would recognize him because the Midrash says, right, that Yaakov learned with his grandchildren for 17 years. So how could it be, you know what I'm saying, but how could it be, you know, I don't know, who are these people? Well, here, right there, he says, right, he learned with them for 17 years. How could he say, mi'ele? Look at Rashi.
Is that Pshat?
No, of course not. Pshat is, this is Midrash. Pshat is that he couldn't make them out. The Pshat is all, but like everything, especially in these prakim, right? The problem with Vayichi is a lot of the pshat doesn't make any sense. And the most important part of Vayichi we can't understand, which is, what's the most important part of Vayichi that we always skip every year because I don't really understand it? The brachot that Yaakov gives to each Shevet. Okay? He gives a bracha, you know, like the essence of the, is Perek Mem Tet. I'm going to tell you what's going to be in Achrid HaYamim. Gather around, everybody, and read it. Yehuda, ata yuducha, yadcha, be'oref oivecha, yishtachavu lecha b'nei echecha, gur aryeh Yehuda, miterev b'ni alita. He starts speaking in like poem, and starts giving these fascinating allegories. The problem, of course, is nobody has any idea what they really mean. It's unclear even that, yet he knows what he means, but we don't know what he means. So the whole parsha here is, how shall I say this, hidden, is unclear. So there's got to be something more going on to say, like, okay, is the point of the end of the Torah to tell us Yaakov got old and he was senile and he didn't know what was going on? Because, right, Yaakov got old, he couldn't recognize his children. No, Dad, these are my sons. Okay, fine, bring them over. And he brings them over and he switches his hands and, like, as a cynical reader without a sense of faith would just get a sense that Yaakov is old and senile and the point of his blessings are really irrelevant. Because anybody who wouldn't recognize his grandchildren, wouldn't know the older versus the younger, he's just confused and he's just saying kind of crazy things. Chas v'shalom. So if that's true, if we really believe in this notion that Yaakov, that something is going on here, so what does he see? So then the vision has got to be something. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not comfortable saying Yaakov couldn't see it, and he says, who are these people? Like, that I need to know. That's what the Torah needs to communicate to me. So look at Rashi for a second. Vayar Yisrael ebnei Yosef. Bikesh levarcham. He wanted to bless them, says Rashi. Amma pasukhet. V'nistalka shchina mimenu. The shchina was withheld from him, was held back from him. Why? Lefi she'atid yirav am ve'achav latzeit me'efraim ve'yehu ubana b'menashe. Okay, because so the Shekhinah was held back from him. He wanted to give them a bracha, and he couldn't give them a bracha because he saw something he didn't like. You could take Rashi and say it the other way. I'm going to read it the other way. Vayar Yisrael ebnei Yosef. He saw the children of Yosef. Vayomer mi ele. Meaning, it's not that he saw them physically, but instead, he saw something much deeper. He looked inside them, and he saw something that was very distressing to him. And he said, "Mi ele, who are these people? Like, what have I not seen? I mean, I haven't looked at them until now. I wanted to give them a bracha. I wanted to bestow upon them this blessing of being part of Bnei Israel. And now I'm looking into the future, and I'm seeing something I don't like. Mi ele." Who are these? And Yosef answers, Vayoma Yosef el Aviv. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this. Vayar. I'm looking at this to see the way that Yaakov sees is very different than the way that we see. Why? Quite simply because he's old. And I mean that in the most positive sense. And a person, right, the older a great righteous tzaddik becomes, the more they see, and the less they see. Right? The less they see of this world, of the, you know what I'm saying? As we're young and we're vigorous and we care about these, about the narshkeit in the world, about the gashmiut, we'll say, that's what's important to us. That's what drives us.
haven't yet been influenced by the pursuit.
Correct. But this idea of when Yaakov, you need to go down? You have to be quiet, okay?
Can I ask a question? This disturbing vision chased away the divine presence, whatever, is that because of his disconnect that he just couldn't kind of, I don't even know how to formulate my question.
Yeah.
Why could they not coexist together? Do you know what I'm saying? Why was the divine presence chased away by this vision?
I don't understand. Meaning, what's not clear?
Why did he not?
When he asks this question,
it's not that the divine. He wants to give them a bracha.
Right.
He wants to bring down some kind of level of shefa, some kind of level of spirituality upon them. That would be the opposite of the future that he sees. So the Shekhinah is removed from him from accomplishing this thing that he wants to do, because it's not in consonance with the future reality. Can I say it that way?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I understand it. Whether you can take it or leave it, okay? So so look at this. Finish the rest of Rashi. Vayomer mi elen. So what is mi elen? Who are they? But Rashi says. Where did these guys come from? How come I can't give them a bracha? Yosef, what happened? And so he says, "Vayomer banaya shenatan li Elohim bazer." Rashi, "Haralo shtar erusin shtar ketuba." He showed him, "It's not me. Like I married, I got married. Kedat v'chedin. You know what I'm saying? We have a hemesh ahom. Bikesh Yosef brachamim ala davar v'nacha ala v'rucha kodesh." So Yosef asked for rachamim, and then the rucha kodesh came back. I.e., you can't control every outcome in the future. You know what I'm saying? Even in the best of families. What's that?
You raise your kids to the best of your ability.
Absolutely right.
Okay,
yeah. Yes, Yerabam, he put up the golden calves and tried to prevent the. No, that was Rechavam. Yerabam was Avodah Zarah outright. So yes, you're talking about periods of terrible idolatry. Achav was one of the worst kings in Jewish history, considered, you know, from a spiritual point of view, from a rulership point of view. So he said, how could this possibly be? So the fascinating, this is obviously more interesting because, right, he sees them. Vayar Yisrael b'nei Yosef, vayom mi'ela, look at Pasuk Yud. Ve'enei Yisrael kavdu mizoken, lo yachlu lirot. Okay, obviously, this is obviously, we're reading this with pshat, and we're reading this a little deeper. Okay, the eyes of b'nei of Yisrael were heavy with age. Lo yuchal lirot. He could not see. Vayagesh otam elav, vayishak lehem, vayichabek lehem. So in the pshat, and he brought them close, and he kissed them, and he hugged them. So imshat, the pshat is, he couldn't recognize them. Mi'ele, these are my children. So instead of being able to see them, he had, in order to identify them, what did he do? He drew them close to hug and kiss them. So he could sense them, he could feel them. Okay? But we're going to see there's more than this. Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef. So Yisrael said to Yosef, "Ro panecha lo pilalti, hine hera oti Elokim gam et zarecha." Okay, "Ro panecha, to see your face, lo pilalti." Anybody want to take a stab at what that word means? Without cheating, what does that sound like? Shira, lo pilalti. Hitpalel. That's one. That's one possible. Hitpalel is to pray.
Well, I wasn't surprised. No.
From Pli'ah.
Yeah.
Okay, I was lo pilalti. I wasn't surprised to see your face.
I wasn't surprised to see what I found.
Okay. What does it sound like in context? So open echa lo pilalti. V'hinei Hashem Elokim gam et zar echa.
I never thought I would see you.
Or
you.
I didn't hope to see you.
Never mind. No, I didn't have seen you, but also your children.
Okay. Right? And now I've got the idea of palal, also from plia, from wonder. We'll see what this means as well. Yeah?
I just feel like Yaakov himself has been in a situation where he knows what happens in a bracha, when you have a blind father and the eyes are unclear. And I feel it's sort of like, not to say that
He's wary of being tricked.
I think so.
He's what? What'd you say?
Wary of being tricked.
No.
Maybe. I just feel like there's got to be some connection. Either he...
Wait, if Yaakov stole the bracha, quote-unquote stole, what was he saying by stealing the bracha from his blind father? Hey, you could trick old blind men? Or, I believe the opposite. Chas v'shalom. That sometimes those who don't see, see even better when they can't see. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides great tzaddikim. Correct. That HaKadosh guides great tzaddikim when they're, meaning, we understand that Yitzchak loved Esav, ki tzayid b'fiv. What's this tzayid b'fiv? Literally, what does tzayid b'fiv mean? What is literally tzayid b'fiv? What?
A hunt in his
mouth. What is that, if not? No, what is that? Olam Hazeh, that's the Gashmiyud, right? He loved the physicality of Yitzchak, right? That's what he loved the physicality of. And then when he got old, right, his eyes became dim, and then his vision became expanded. That his what he saw and the bracha that he gave, we believe that the bracha that he gave when he couldn't see was the true bracha, was the correct bracha. And he himself realized that. He said, God has given you, you've already have that bracha. I can't, you know, like, that's the whole thing about the bracha, that Esav comes and says, give me a bracha. And Yaakov comes and says, yes, I can't, I gave it to you already. Really? You can't? that Yitzchak himself understood and realized that this was meant to be. What? Doesn't matter. That his vision, the true vision, the appropriate vision, is what led him to do the right thing. So here also, and I think that Yaakov, sure, that's why I think Yaakov understood that.
There's like the unconscious vision. Subconscious. Like he wasn't a deliberate act. Not on Yaakov's point.
It was a guided act.
It was a guided act. It wasn't from himself that he did.
It was from his consciousness. It was from his true self.
From his subconscious.
Don't we all have what we do and what we know our true selves want us to do?
Is that he would have, if he would have been doing it consciously, he would have given that book advice.
Correct. Well, I'm not comfortable with the word conscious. Like, you know, consciously or not consciously. Right, deliberate. But we all have, we do things deliberately. When we know our true selves, we don't really want to do this. Well, why are you doing this if you don't really want to do it?
Like eating the chocolate.
But that's still deliberate. Really, it's not like I know that I'm eating the chocolate. Yeah, okay, but it's still a deliberate, I know that I'm taking it out of the fridge and I know that I'm breaking the piece off and eating it.
What, breaking what piece off?
Really? Not
being
the whole pot?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not anymore.
No, there's want. No, but that's exactly the true point, Lon. There's want, and then there's want. A part of me wants this, but which part of me? The true part of me? The real part of me? And we're talking about, forget the chocolate. The chocolate is all physicality, more good physicality or bad physicality. We're talking about something that I'm doing that's spiritually beneficial and not spiritual. Why do I do things that are not spiritually beneficial? Because the false part of me wants something. And it's overwhelming the true part of me. And then both are true. Both are things that I want. But which is the real me and which is the fake me?
Also, sometimes the Yetzirah can make something negative look like the most shining spiritually positive thing in the world.
He's very good at that. Okay, that's true. I'll give you that.
I mean, there are times when you need to, when one needs to...
When a person gets old, what happens when a person gets old?
When
a person gets old? He gets weak. What does that mean, he gets weak? Many of his physical desires, right? The physical part of him. Well, even before that. Even before that person... Hopefully,
you realize you can exist in one room with
that. What's that?
They get up and go. Got up and wait.
It's easier to sit around than to get up and walk and go... And exercise.
You mean that they become less physical?
They become
more. You know, it's so interesting. You're thinking about a certain kind of old person. A person who's old, who spent his entire life only involved in the physical. So when the physical is gone, they're bereft. There's nothing left to them.
They get depressed.
Very spiritual people, when they're physically incapable, their spirituality just overwhelms them, and they're able to, it's almost like, it's like a blessing. Like they're no longer bothered by all that physical stuff that was, you know, so complicating things. Now they just...
It just becomes irrelevant.
Yes, it just becomes irrelevant. And it doesn't prevent them from being the people that they still have to be. I'm obviously talking, they still have to have a minimum ability to function physically. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's functioning, and then there's like, you know, drive and desire.
You don't have a time.
Exactly. But when you don't have...
Does that make them better?
What?
Does that make
of course
better?
It does. Of course.
No.
Better people. What's that?
It makes you a better person if you're actually conquering, you know, the battle.
I don't want to take it. I'm not talking about a value judgment. That's not for me to decide. It's just a question of okay. Yeah. Really? I have to tell you, like, you know, there are the people that I see retiring, like, there's people who retire and play golf. Like, I really feel like it's terrible. It's like, why would you want to retire? And I understand that, like, you know. But then, like, I have an uncle who retired. It's unbelievable. He lives in Yerushalayim. He learns in Machon Meir for 3 hours a day, and then he does his daf yomi. He lives like a more full life now that he doesn't have to worry about the annoying job to, you know, support himself.
And now he
worked really hard. He worked really hard. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that the people who are able to develop themselves, all of us, if we are able to develop ourselves spiritually during our lives, during our vigorous times of our lives, then when that vigor sort of wanes, nonetheless, the spirituality will continue and we'll be happy to have that meaningfulness. And, but think about Lahavdil, okay? Lahavdil, when we are no longer spiritual, physical beings, i.e. when we go to the Olam Haemet, how much more pronounced will that division be? That the person who lives a physical life, if they're bereft of what to do with themselves when they're in this world, and they're not able to physically do the things that they like to do, imagine in the next world, when there's no physicality whatsoever, and all they're left with is the spirituality that they have. Can you imagine how much more frustrating that is? You know what we call that frustration? You know what we call that frustration? That's exactly right. And the opposite? That's Gan Eden. A person who has vigor, spiritual vigor, and excitement and passion, and is able to function without the physicality, if the physicality is what holds you back. And the less you have holds you back, the more you're able to do. So then imagine when, like, there's no physicality holding you back whatsoever, and it's all spirituality. That's what we call Gan Eden. Okay? So this is what he says. So we're going to go back and try to understand this pasuk. Oh, panecha lo pilalti.
I'm on pasuk Yudala. Can I just add something to this? Yeah. I was just thinking, it's not only your own spiritual gains in this world, it's what you invest in your children and your grandchildren, because once a person's in Olam Haba, that is the only derech that is going to go by the neshama, and aliyah is through what the children and grandchildren and whatever are going to continue to do.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say.
It's not only the investment you're making in yourself, it's the investment that you're making in your children.
Mm-hmm. I would say it a different way. I'm not here to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, like, I can't figure out what his cheshbonot are and, like, who gets credit for what. You know what I'm saying? But I always looked at it in terms of the person that you've become and the thing that you've done. Raising children, infusing them with spirituality, is the most selfless thing a person can do and the most spiritually developing thing a person can do. You understand what I'm saying? So I would say it a different way, that the accomplishments of a person's children reflect the life that that person led and the greatness that that person became during his lifetime. You understand what I'm saying? My grandfather had a certain value. And we live in order to, like, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of, remember we talked about that, why didn't Yosef sin? Remember we talked about that? About the reason Yosef didn't sin was he saw the vision of his father. And I think a lot about what image do we create for our children? When our children will see us in their mind's eye, what will they see? And the reason I was thinking about this is because, like, so I started learning Daf Yomi. And the only time it was good for me to learn Daf Yomi is, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. So, like, I dragged myself out of bed and I tried, like, from whatever. But the kids said something very interesting. When they wake up in the morning and they walk by right over there, they see it. And they said something to me about it. And, like, you know, but you don't do it in a day. You don't create that image in a day. You create the image because it's something that your kids see that resonates with them. And I don't know if I ever mentioned this. I think I mentioned it. Like, my mind's eye, I remember, the thing I remember about my father was, you know, with his Arusa. And it's like, you know, we don't know what it is that we do creates that image. How did I get on that? You know what I'm saying? Oh, about our children. You asked me about our children. Yeralef, Vayomer Yisrael, Yosef, Ro'opanecha lo pilalti. So we're going to go back to this pasuk. I didn't even imagine seeing your children now. You, okay? And I'm going to come back to this in light of the next few pasukim. What? So Yosef took his children from his father. They moved back, and they bowed down. Can I ask you a question? What just happened?
Well, the Shekhinah was there, and then it wasn't there, and then it was there.
What did Yaakov say
that caused Yosef to, whoa. Think about this. Whoa. Kids, step back and bow down to their father and grandfather. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Something in that pasuk has to be so significant that something fundamentally changed. I mean, I always, until for some reason, I always skipped this pasuk. Like, okay, like when you have to consider what just happened. Vayotze Yosef otam mi'im birkav. Like, they're in the middle of this beautiful family, you think, you know what I'm saying? You would think they're in the middle of this beautiful, intimate thing, and he's going to give the bracha. In the middle, there's this pause, and Yosef takes his children away, and they have this sign of just reverence and awe for Yaakov Avinu. Something, what? Ra'o panecha lo pilati, v'ineir a'o kim etzgam etzarecha. What happened? And I'm going to explain to you what happened. I think I have an idea of what happened. Just in the light of, I have to go on a little bit more. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have so much time, do I? Do I have so much time? I'm okay? Good. Okay. Yeah. So we know the father, the front and the back, okay? The right, we'll just read for a second, because we have to get to an important midrash. One second. Yeah. ויקח יוסף את שניהם את אפרים בימינו, משמאל ישראל, ופן השם משמאלו, משמאלו מימי ישראל, ויגש אליו. So now they're coming back, right? Right? The Ephraim on the left, on the right, to the left of Israel, Menashe on the right, right? Depends on your perspective. Okay? Blah, blah. וישלח ישראל את בימינו, ויש את הראש אפרים, והוא הצעיר, ושמאלו הראש מנשה, שיקל את ידיו, כי המנשה הבכור. So what did Yaakov do? Right, switch his hands. That's him, a chloket. Did he switch his hands or did he switch them around? Rabbeinu Bechaya suggested he didn't switch his hands, but that he moved them around. You could argue. Either way, something was backwards.
Why is it a question?
Sikel et yadav. He says, what? Through his hands. You'll read through it. I don't remember exactly how he comes to it. Okay? Look at Rabbeinu Bechaya on the, you don't have it in there. Neither in here. Okay? V'yivarech et Yosef v'yomer alokim asher yitchalku avotecha lefanav. Abraham Yitzchak, Elokim haro'eh oti mi'odi ad hayom hazeh, the God that has shepherded me, Hamalach ha'go'eh oti mikol ra, Yivarech et ha'na'arim v'yikarei b'hem shemi v'shem avotai Abraham Yitzchak. Yeah, you like that, huh? Right, he should give them my name and the name of my fathers, v'yidgu l'arov bekerav ha'aretz, and they should multiply yidgu, like the fish. Okay. What do we say about the fish? Why do they like the fish, Rashi?
Oh, because they
missed the water.
Rashi?
Torah is
the yidgu l'arov. Look at Rashi. Like fish live in the water.
In a Torah lap.
Then would you drink water?
They don't cross breed.
No? Really?
Yeah, they don't.
Rashi? Kedagim halalu sheparim v'rabim. They multiply. V'ein ayin hara sholetet. The water protects them from ayin hara. In the water. The immersion in the water protects them from ayin hara.
Like being immersed in Torah.
Exactly, absolutely true. Ayin mazal yisrael. It's absolutely correct. Okay. From what? And their eyes are always open. Fisher eyes are always open. Okay. From what kind of vision? Remember, we had a shiur about ayin hara, and even I remember that too. What was ayin hara? What is ayin hara? It's not some superstition. Somebody else's negative vision. I'm just going to point that out. Okay? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayar Yosef, Yad Yimino Arosh Ephraim, Vayera Be'enav. I'm in Pasuk Yud Zayin. It was bad at his eyes. Vayitmoch Yad Aviv, Lasiro Tami Arosh Ephraim, Ayod Red Menashe. He tried to push his hands over. Vayomer Yosef Al Aviv, Lokein Aviv. Kize Abuchor Simi Micha Arosh. Dad, Vayimahen Avi Vayomer Yadati Bini Yadati. Gam Hu Yela'am V'gam Hu Yigdav. Something's wrong with this pasuk. What bothers me about this pasuk? Anyone? Shira, you should get this. What bothers me about the pasuk? Let me obvious. What bothers me? No, what bothers me? Nothing? Nothing bothers you? I mean, it sounds nice. Right, obviously. I know, my son, I know. Right, but we're not even... Exactly, we say that. I know. Well, we just said it right now.
Him,
But really, in the Torah?
I know.
Right. What do I know?
He knows two different things.
Right. What does he know? What does he really
know?
Okay. Gam hu yigdal, etc., etc. Yadati bini yadati. What's that? Okay. I got to read you the Midrash, and the Midrash will cause us a lot of problems. Says the Midrash. Okay. Vayomer yadati, you don't have it. I have the Midrash. Vayad yadati. Okay. Why do you say in the past tense? I knew. Okay. Lirmoz. It's a hint. Sheyakov Amar lo liYosef. He says the following. Shalom b'vachu yodea Hashem and Hashem b'chor v'Ephraim matzeir. He says, not only that I know who is who. Right? Elahu yodea gam dvarim ne'elamim v'nistarim. He also knows hidden things. Dvarim sheim inyanei machshava u'matzpunei liv bilvad. Things that are hidden in the depths of our hearts. Mashi Yosef atzmo eno yodea. He says, Yosef, I know things you don't know. Klomar. Okay, blah, 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 blah. He says, what do you think? I didn't know. You have to tell me? Etc. Yadati ma'aseh Ruvain u'bilha. I knew Ruvain u'bilha shalashem shamayim nitkaven. U'ma'aseh Yehuda b'tamar. Gam hu yadu ali. Yadati, I knew what happened then, and I knew what happened for Yehuda b'tamar. Shehu bikesh la'avor v'lasor mimena. Right? Thank you. Okay. That he was going to sit with Tamar and he didn't. Ma dvarim shelo nitgalu lecha nitgalu li. Things that you don't know, I know. You think the things that you know, dvarim shenitgalu lecha l'achad v'kama v'kama. Things that you know, I certainly know. I.e., says Yaakov to his son Yosef, I can't see, but I can see a lot more than you can see. But that Midrash can erase the problem. Because if he can see all of those things, right? What problem do I have? Right.
What?
Say it again, louder. What the heck? If he has all this clairvoyance and has all this vision, how could he not? So how did Chazal answer this question?
Hashem only lets us see what we're supposed to see.
So why couldn't he see that?
He wasn't supposed to.
Why couldn't he see that? Doesn't that, you think that didn't bother Yaakov? Something was hidden from him. Why is it hidden from him? Now, what are the things that he sees here? What are the things that he sees? Yadati ma'aseh Reuven l'shem shamayim nitkaven. Yadati Yehuda, right? Bikesh la'avor v'lasum mimen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a malach and a tava, and he didn't follow through. Well, what couldn't he see about Yosef? What couldn't he see?
He wasn't alive.
Mm-mm. Yaakov isn't focused on, remember, we're not focused on, Yaakov isn't focused on the world of Sheker that we care about. Yaakov is focused on the world of Emet. That's his vision. It's not the physical vision. His vision is not the external vision. His vision is the deeper, internal vision, the much more important vision. You have to go down? What's the matter? Oh, put that down? Yeah, it's got stuck. Okay? His vision is the deeper vision, is the hidden vision, and he can't see something. What can't he see? I think I know it. Beginning of Ayigash. Yehuda's begging Yosef. Okay? He's begging Yosef to let Binyamin go. Vayetzei ha'echad me'iti. And he's saying what the father said when he sent Binyamin away. He says, I'm not giving you Binyamin. Why? Vayetzei ha'echad imeiti. One of my two children left from me. Va'omar achtarof taraf. And I said, achtarof taraf. I said, he must have been eaten or whatever, you know, attacked by an animal. Velo ri'itiv ad hena. And I haven't seen him until now. If he was dead, what? I haven't seen him. Remember what he said about Yosef. Re'o panecha lo pilalti. I was not able to See your face. Oh, really?
I'm just giving her some.
I know you are, but we're never going to see her again. Okay. Open it. You want to play with that? No? Okay. Open it. Right. I never thought I would be able to see your face. I didn't see Yosef until now. What about Yosef, what he wanted to see? What did he expect? Is it that he didn't know Yosef was alive? Physically? Or something else entirely? Remember.
Okay. Well, he's seeing a future, he's seeing a spiritual side of things, and he hadn't seen him. Was he saying that he didn't see him, the emet of him, the spiritual side of him?
Turn back to Perek Mem Vav, right? When they finally meet. Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Chavtet. We mentioned this last week. Vayeesur Yosef Mar Kavto, Vayaal Likrat Yisrael Aviv Goshna, Vayera Elav. He went to go see his father in Goshen, and he appeared to him. Vayipol Al Tzavarav, Vayevk Al Tzavarav Od. Yaakov is, Yosef is crying. What's Yaakov doing? Remember what we said he's doing? According to Rashi? He's saying Shema. And we're like, what? Saying Shema? Vayomer Yisrael El Yosef. Amuta hapa'am. I will die. I can now die this time. Acharei ra'oti et panecha. Ki od chai. After I've seen your face, ki od chai. I don't understand what the child, but the son said to him, Dad, Yosef's alive in Goshen. We got to go see him. So we read this on a very superficial level. Oh, I can die finally. I've seen your face. He didn't know he was alive. And now that he knows he's alive, like, okay, I want to see you, of course, but what's this whole idea of Kira Otcha Panecha? Or Achaim. Those of you who have Or Achaim. Okay?
Panecha is a reflection of the
Achen, Kavanat, I'm on the Or Achaim. Those of you who have it. You have it, Shiri? You see where I am? On Tuf Nunchet, the bottom? Or Achaim. I'm in the second column. It's Achen. See where it says Achen?
Yeah.
Right, good. Achen, or Achaim. You don't have it. You guys don't. You have it. But on Mem Vav Lamed. Achen, second paragraph, or third, I don't know. Ki gam shenit maser ki odenu chai. Even though he knew that he was still alive, ze ho'il ledat sheyeshno b'metziut. Okay, I know he's physically alive. Perhaps he knew it all along. Aval adayin libo davav alav litzad hayuto ben anacharim. He said, but what kind of Yosef is left? Shafel Eved Moshlim, a low servant, low slave. Im odenu betzid kato. Velo kata eino, velo nas lecho. Is he still in his spiritual high? O lo tzari yotam uvdal mimenu, v'natun tocha klipot. Ubifrat tumat mitzrayim. Maybe he's in Mitzrayim. Ma gam letzad ma sha'avru mimruach ha'kodesh, amar tarof taraf Yosef. ודבר ידוע כי הצדיקים יותר יחפצו בהיעדר הבן ויותר בן מביש. מה גם יעקב הצדיק, אשר כן לא הייתה שמחתו שלמה מספק זה. His joy was not complete from this doubt. What happened to Yosef? והכיר בו בפניו. And so when he saw his face, כי הכרת הפנים תענה באיש. The recognition of the face, Ta'ane bi'ish. It reveals the human being. Ukmo kein matzinu letzadikim. We have saw the tzadikim. Shleimim b'chein rabim shehikiru b'roshem hapanim ma'aseh adam. When they saw the face of a person, they know their essence. They look at your face, a great tzadik, and they see right inside. They see everything they need to know. Umikol sheken ya'akov avinu shehikir. Certainly Yaakov recognizes. Lazek shikirbo amar amuta hapam. Now I can die. Why? Biro panecha. When I saw your face, ki odcha chai. My Yosef is still alive. Ani Yosef haod avi chai. Right? This Yosef, amuta hapam. Now comes Yosef. Let's go back to our parsha and says, what did Yosef say? Ro panecha lo pilalti. I never thought, Yosef, when I was coming down here, I never thought I would see your face.
But
not only he's blind physically, But now I see not only you, but I see also in your future, your children following your footsteps. Then Yosef stops, and he moves back, and they bow down to Yaakov Avinu. Isn't that like... Then Yosef, he realizes what's going on here. Yadati b'ni, I know, I see.
But I think there's something also that ties in here maybe with his coat. Because a coat is basically like, it's a cover, it's a...
It conceals.
It was definitely some type of coat that everybody noticed. And there's sort of something about taking off
there's
layers
an invitation to Ein Hara.
Sorry?
There's an invitation to Ein Hara.
Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there's some sort of progression here of
moving away from that. I'm moving away from that.
The coat was sort of the beginning where it was like an extra layer of
sheker.
Uh-huh. Right? And I feel like it sort of, that was like the start of it. Exactly.
Right. You could obviously take this whole mahalach or leave it. But this idea of seeing, of Yaakov telling us, of seeing what's real and what's not real, the true and what's not true, our essence. That Yaakov Avinu throughout his life, on this level, did he know Yosef was alive or not? Unclear. But what was hidden from him was which Yosef was still there. And now go back to the idea of Yaakov sees Yosef and he says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Right? When he sees Yosef is crying because he missed his father. Yaakov is thanking God because he had his son back. The son that he always thought, right? These are my children. Yosef shows him and says, this is what you want. These are the real children. And even though it doesn't always work out in the future, Yaakov recognizes this and he gives them the bracha. Yadati b'ni yadati. I see. I know what the future will bring. Your children will be like the Shivteka. That's something that's much more than just, oh, I love you, Dad. That's a powerful message that affects Yosef to his depth, to his core. To see what really is worth seeing, as opposed to what's not. And obviously this challenges us. If we really think that this is true, right, this is something that we all challenge us all the time. You know, we are blinded right now. We're blinded by the Olam HaSheker, by what motivates us. It's impossible to remove ourselves entirely. Great people are able to accomplish this. And the struggle that we have is to always try to see what we're supposed to see the real, see the truth, to whatever degree we can, and not allow ourselves to be blinded by the light of the false. Right? And this gives us an indication. You know, it's not for us at this time in our lives. We're not at that point in our lives. But that's a struggle that we deal with every day, to see what's really important, to see what's really true, to have the right view. Questions? All right, we'll stop here.